And good evening, everybody. It's 11 o'clock Zulu, and this is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This South Cars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all short-time stations, will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found on the World Wide Web at southcars.com and for our digital operation at voip.southcars.com. Your net control this evening is K6SUN. I'm KC2RMO, located in Syracuse, New York, opening things up, where we have a miserable temperature of 43 degrees and awful cloudy skies, too. Let me just buy a nickel. Now, prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. Nothing heard. Do we have anybody celebrating their birthday this week? And nothing heard there, and as Kathy is fond of saying, nobody's getting any older, and that's a good thing. Well, this is the South Cars VoIP Global Family Hour. The intent of this net is to encourage members, their families, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net, highlighting third-party traffic through the member station. Our program for tonight is May Day, as in May Day, not May Day. And to get things going, let's bring on K6SUN, our net control for the evening. Good evening, Kathy.
Well, good evening, Mr. Gary, and thanks for reminding me about May Day, May Day. But I want to welcome everyone everywhere to this Saturday evening's Family Global Net. You know, on Thursday, we will celebrate the 1st of May, and May is a fantastic month, and my favorite month. After all, it's Mother's Day. It's my birthday. It's the holidays from school. It's the moving time to a new home and starting to be the wind-down time at school. And by the way, my temperature is 79 beautiful degrees, high today of about 83, low tonight of about 69, but it was a very, very beautiful day. You know, therefore, I find it very appropriate this evening to talk about May the 1st. May the 1st is referred to as May Day, with several meanings of that day. Labor, flowers, fun, the distress signal. So at this time, I want to thank you for being here and hope that you will have fun and enjoy our discussion on May Day. You know, have you ever knocked on someone's door, hung a basket on the handle, and yelled, May Day, as you ran away to hide? The old traditions of the first day of May have become obscured with time and modern advances. What is this holiday called May Day? Does anyone celebrate it anymore? Do you know the true meaning of May Day? And how about any other celebrations on this day? Ah, so do you have any May Day stories? And what does May Day mean to you? So without anything further, let us hear from you. So at this point, I'm going to ask for some check-ins, or maybe you just want to say hi this evening. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for some check-ins.
6, Victor.
And RMO.
All right, I have 2 check-ins. I have 6 Victor, and I think I know what he's going to talk about. And I have RMO. Is there anyone else out there that's connected this evening that would like to merely just check in and say hi to us, or maybe talk to us about May Day, the 1st of May, and the beginning of some fantastic weather? So anyone else want to join these fine gentlemen this evening? If so, I ask you to come aboard.
8, America.
Quebec, Yankee.
Zulu Uniform Delta.
You know, this is just great. I have 5 check-ins to start off this evening's program. So I want to welcome you, Carrie, to South Cars Global Family Hour, and I hope that you'll enjoy the session tonight. And good evening to you, Wayne, it's been a long, long time, and I haven't heard the story about moving, but I can agree with you. I moved from Michigan because I was just tired of that cold. And good evening to you, Mr. Jim. So with that, KY6V, please come aboard and share with us about your May Day stories or whatever you'd like to talk to us about this evening. And thanks for being here. KY6V, come aboard.
Well, thanks, pretty lady. I assume that you picked up Carrie in that roundup, too. A nice startup for the net here this evening. Gordon, KY6V, and we're, for some reason, very strange, I would suspect, I have exactly the same temperature that you do. That being 79, and I think our high today was 83. But I can't speak of that because I was on the road here this afternoon and I didn't have a thermometer with me. But it was a beautiful, gorgeous, sunshine full day here in the grand state of Florida today. No rain and just very, very pleasant. Kathy, the only thing that I would add here on your subject this evening is, you know, I was raised, or at least born, out in the Hawaiian Islands, and May Day here in the States is also Lay Day in the Hawaiian Islands, and this is a grand time of the year, and I always think about it, even though I'm here in Florida, when it comes around, because the guys out there, the island boys, called Connies, that's their Hawaiian name, come out to the beach to party, and they've got their pressed cutoffs on, bright Hawaiian shirts, flowery leis around their neck, and straw hats. They're packing their ukuleles, and they want to sing, and they want to dance. And the ladies, who are called wahinis in the Hawaiian Islands, come out with their grass skirts on and their beautiful Hawaiian leis, and they do the hula, and they just have fun all day long. And while they're having fun, they have put a large pig in the ground. It's called a luau. And what they do is they dig this big hole. They put some charcoal and coal and that kind of stuff down to the bottom of the hole. They put this pig down in it. They put some of the local leaves on top of it, spice it up a little bit, cover it up a little bit, smoke it, and then they eat it. And that's after they have had their share of okolihau. Okolihau is a Hawaiian drink similar to bourbon. So there you have the story, Kathy. KY6V, back to net. Over.
Well, thank you, Gordon. You know, I've known you for several years, and I've never heard the whole story. I've heard about the lei, but not about the pig, the luau, and all that you talked about this evening. And actually, I'll talk a little bit about the lei, but Mr. Gary was funny in the text box. He actually, when you came across with that, did not quite know what you were going to say. So, and I knew what he was thinking. But with that, you know, I am, like you well know, and I would love to go there just to see this event that goes on. But, you know, a lot of special things we do at school. You know, this past week was the administrative assistant, and I think our principal gave out, there were fake leis, of course, not real flowers, but to always see those in the stores. But it would be nice to see one just fresh with all those nice flowers. Thank you, Gordon, so much for that introduction to the program, and hopefully you'll come back aboard as we continue. But let's pick up Mr. RMO, whose mind, I'm not sure what he's thinking here, but hopefully that explained it. Mr. Gary, what would you like to share with us?
Well, thank you, Kathy, and You know, you know, one's mind will wander where one's mind wanders. So, well, good evening, everybody. That's right. My lovely wife is commenting about me too. After listening to Gordon, I wanted to get my autographed picture of Poncy Ponce out and open up get a poo-poo platter on the plate and enjoy, you know, because if that's Mayday, then that's Mayday. Actually, I have obviously as the backup tonight, I have the script, but I purposefully did not read ahead because I wanted to find out where the meaning of the distress call came from. I never knew that. You know, you're so used to hearing people go, Mayday, Mayday, you know, in distress, but I am really not sure where that came from, and I didn't seek the answer. I wanted to hear it in the course of the night. So that's where I'm at tonight with that, other than my somewhat warped mind. So, but it's always warped, so that's okay. But great to be here, and going to be a fun net, that's for sure. So with that, we will go back to the net, and this is KC2RMO. Back to you, Cass.
Well, thank you, Gary. Actually, tonight we're not going to talk too much about the distress signal, so you may have to research it and see where that came from. You know, I'm not too sure if it's Mayday anymore, Mayday, Mayday. I think SOS is probably more so what you hear. But maybe researching that or someone else out there, because tonight we're just going to talk about the Mayday, the flower, you know, that event, and also what May 1st is in the labor movement. So hopefully someone will come aboard and explain about that distress signal. So with that, and I wanted to make a comment, Gary, in the background as you read the preamble, I heard jingle bells, so that must be Mr. Jingles walking around or very close to you. That was a good introduction. So with that, WW8A, come aboard. Tell us why you're moving out of this grand state of Minnesota and where you may be moving. Thanks for being here tonight, and what's your thoughts about May the 1st?
Okay, success, you went. Good evening to all from Whiskey 8 America. Your friend Wayne up here in St. Paul. Well, the only reason that I'd be leaving Minnesota is, let's see. We had a total of 22 days in a row where the temperature never made zero. We saw somewhere in the neighborhood of 5.5 feet of snow recorded. There was a pile of snow across the road from the house at the state fairgrounds that you could have skied down. It was a monster. Taller than semi going by. You could see the top. You could see the top third of it over the semis as they rolled down the street, down Snelling Avenue. So yes, there are several reasons why. Where? Well, we don't know yet for sure. My company has opened up a branch in Nashville, Tennessee. My immediate supervisor just returned today from there. I mean, he and I and half a dozen of us that color ourselves important will be meeting Monday to hear his story about that experience. And we're looking forward to that. There's one option. I've been invited and told that there's a room available at a executive suite in Franklin, Georgia. We'll hear about those. We'll hear from those folks a little later in the net. That may be a bit further down the road. At this point, there's no definite plans to go anywhere, but go I may just. This summer I'll turn 61. I'm getting awfully tired of cold weather. Well, Kathy, let's see. May 1st, if I remember, now it was a long time ago, but until I was 12 years of age, we lived in the little farm town of Deckerville. You'd know where Deckerville is, up in Sanilac County. And the boys from school, the high school boys, and a few of us grade school boys, were allowed, as of May 1, were given a pass to go help with the spring planting and the farm work. Just like we were in the fall, given those days off for hunting. Could you imagine calling your principal up and saying, my son's taking 3 days off to go pheasant hunting with his dad, and having them consider that an excused absence in 2014. But growing up in the 50s and 60s in that small rural community, May Day, where we heard the stories of the dancing around the maypole, we saw them marching down the streets of Moscow of the armament, and all of those things. So it wasn't highly thought of at that time, and that's only one little portion of the world. But they occupied the consciousness of a lot of that area of the country as a young boy. You know, I can remember being 9 years of age, maybe 10, somewhere in that area, and being going through the drill if the Russians tossed nuclear weapons at us, going to the basement and having the drills and duck and cover and all of those things. And so that was a big part. That's what I remember of it. But I also heard stories.
All right. It looks like Wayne has timed out, but he had some great information there and some great stories. And, you know, hopefully he can come back to continue. But I'm thinking about the time I was in Michigan and lived there, how it just got to the point of being way too tiring with the winter. But it looks like he's still timed out, and he's still, he's come back. So, Wayne, you timed out as we were listening to you, but I thought that information quite interesting from you. And I have some comments I'll make after you continue. So, WW8A, continue with your stories of when you were a youngster in May the 1st.
I apologize. Not knowing where I timed out at, I forgot to look at the screen. My Android phone, I set the screen so that it'll begin to darken at the 2-minute point. That usually will keep me out of trouble, but I wasn't looking down. I was looking off at goings-on out the backyard, and so I don't know where I stopped at, but that May 1 was about the time when from then on, boys had a pass, you know, just to help out on the farm. of course, we were far enough away from the Detroit area at that point in time until, you know, the summer I turned 12 that the labor problems weren't anything. We had a small community of farming folks, and so that really wasn't a thing that you heard about much at all growing up. And, of course, the thing with the Russians and the dancing around the maypole and the armament down the street. But, you know, that was a big deal to a little boy, a young lad, because my father being an ex-military, there were a lot of stories around those things. And being 9 or 10 years old and, you know, learning to run to the basement in an orderly fashion because the Russians might throw bombs at us, nuclear weapons at us, and learning to duck and cover and watching those military films of how to survive. Get under your desk, duck and cover when the white flash happened. I mean, you know, we were all so innocent about those things. But that's the gist of it. Want to hear more about the labor movement? Something that I really never picked up, even though we did live nearer to this, to that stuff. Let you back to the net before I do it again. My goodness, K6SUN in the net, WW8A. Did I do better this time?
Yes, you did, Wayne. But I was going to tell you that the system you have is fantastic, and you said an Android. I have one of those as well. Don't talk too much on Echolink on it, but I do have it, and I enjoy it. I really We want to thank you for the information that you shared, and we'll go through some of that. But thinking back to what you're talking about, Deckerville, the Lapeer area, the Imlay City area, Sanilac County, you know, I'm sure it's changed even from the time I moved there, from there. But, you know, I, along with you, we're tired of the cold and the snow, and you've really had quite a year. But when you talk about the hunting and being allowed to take those days off, I'm not sure how it would be treated now. But I think they do a lot of pig hunting probably around here, so they probably allow it, and spring planting as well. So, and that's the main idea tonight is about May. It's the time for a lot of areas to start thinking of spring and warm weather and spring planting. But in your area and in Michigan, I'm not sure if that happens until July comes along. But Wayne, I appreciate all that information you shared with us, especially how much snow you've had and the height of it, and also sharing with us about May 1st. And whenever you want to come back aboard, we sure hope that you do. But I will share some information with you this evening. So with that, let me break with you and let me pick up Mr. Gentleman Jim, Franklin, Georgia. Sounds like you're going to start a motel in your area, Jim, and offer lodging to whoever would like to come. So hopefully you've had a good day. Come aboard. Tell us about May the 1st.
Well, all right. July, number 1880. All right, now, let's see here. Mayday. Well, when I think of Mayday, of course, the first thing I think about is radio. That's absolutely the first storm. I mean, you know, I think of radio when I'm moving. You know, I want to get an antenna up first thing. They will try some window shades or something other. That's done. But my mind goes immediately to radio. And I got my ticket at 63, and I didn't hear a Mayday call until about 1970, I think it was, 60. It may have been 65, 70, right along in there. And I was tuning across 20 meters one day, and I went beyond the band, because I had a general coverage receiver, and sure enough, I run across a fellow up there calling Mayday. Mayday, Mayday. The old fellow said, Maytag, Maytag. But anyway, I went back to him. He was outside the amateur band. But I'm not, yeah, it made no difference to me. If it's emergency call, it's emergency call, wherever it is. And I went back to him, and sure enough, he'd been calling about a half hour and had not had nobody. And he was in trouble. Him and his wife was on a small vessel, small for a seagoing vessel. I think it was about a 34-foot boat, but anyway, that was small for a seagoing vessel. And he had gotten into a storm that ripped up all his sails. He didn't have those sails. I mean, boated it to work, and he was adrift in the middle of the ocean, and so I worked him for quite a while until the Coast Guard got on frequency with us, and once they got on their frequency, and once they got on, and I still had to stay there for a while because that was 20 meters. You know how that is. You can't hear nobody that's too close to you. And so there was a period that they wasn't able to hear the boat. But once they got the boat in where they could talk with him, I left them with it then. But that was my first experience with a Mayday call. And that's what they would call them. They weren't calling them SOS. But anyway, that's what I did. And then, of course, I always think of the little maypole. We went to the... I was still a grammar school student. Let me break again. I was still a grammar school student, but went to the high school because that's where they was going to have a maypole dance. And so we went to see it. And it was something to see now, all them kids running around that maypole every which direction. And part of them was going one way and part of them going another way, and it's how they kept getting things messed up, I cannot imagine. And, but they got the maypole wrapped anyhow. And, it was pretty. And, was quite a dance. So I enjoyed that too. So that's about the two experiences that I think of when I think of Mayday. But I guess I never will forget the emergency because I was, when I was about 13 years old when I got the ticket. And I was still a young fellow when that Mayday came across. And it was just such a privilege to help them people. And I think that probably had a lot to do with the heavy amounts of net operations that I got into and stayed into all through my career. Back to you, Miss Kathy, KB4QY.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you for sharing all that information with us. And actually, after I pick up Miss Carrie, I'm going to throw it out there to anyone who's been in the experience of the Mayday distress. I think I had one of those when I was diving one time when we ran out of power out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and no place to get back to the dock. I wasn't actually in the house that he was maybe calling that. He was on the radio. You know, it wasn't a bad experience. It was just we ran out of power. But Rick and 1VXP put in the text box, actually, Mayday actually originated in 1923, and the French word, it meant to come help me. So I'm going to pick up Miss Carrie first, and then I'm going to actually throw it out there to anyone who've had some experiences with the Mayday call, have helped, or anything else they want to talk about. But I want to thank you, Jim, for sharing about the maypole and the running around the maypole, because that's actually what I'm going to talk about a little further on, as well as the labor movement. So with that, Carrie, KC6ZUD, Modesto, California. Welcome to South Cars. You're one of our newest members. And you're actually wanting to help South Cars, and we appreciate that. What would you like to share with us this evening about May the 1st, or maybe the month of May, because it's a beautiful month here in South Florida, and I'm sure it is in your area. So, Carrie, please come aboard.
KC6CUD. Well, I don't really know much about Mayday, just that Mayday means emergency or help me, but I think it also means like springtime, like flowers and butterflies and hummingbirds and stuff like that. But I am getting an education today because I did not realize what they do in Hawaii until Gordon mentioned it and then all these other people, and I don't really know much about it, so I'm just glad to be here because I am learning and learning a lot about what May Day means. So anyway, back to you, K6SUM. This is KC6CUD.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for coming aboard, checking in. Actually, if you look at our website, each and every one of you out there, Steve, KF5VH, puts usually pictures on there of the programs coming up, and he actually has a picture of that maypole. I think that picture was a long time ago by looking at the outfits. But May the 1st signifies spring, like you were talking about, flowers. And I'm going to go into a little bit of that with you, planting. It also signifies the labor movement along with the distress signal. So hopefully we'll have time to share with each and every one of you about May the 1st. But at this point, as Jim was talking about May Day, the distress signal, I'm going to throw it out there to anyone anywhere who may have experienced that distress call, may have been part of it, may have helped, like Jim had helped, or may have been on a boat or an airplane when that was happening, and maybe share their experiences with us this evening. So this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for any check-ins, and Gary will come aboard and tell us about May Day in his household, which is fine. So we're looking for anybody that has experienced that May Day distress call. And yes, with ham radio. So at this point, come aboard.
RMO.
6, Victor.
Victor X-ray Papa.
All right, I'm going to pick up these three gentlemen. And I'll ask anyone else who would like to come aboard just to merely put something in the text box for me. But I want to hear about the May Day call, ham radio, and whether there's been any experiences out there. So, Gary, I'm going to pick you up first, and I'm almost sure what I'm going to hear from you. But I'm all ears at this point. KC2RMO, Mr. Gary, come aboard.
Hey, thank you, Kath. As Rick was very astute to point out, the word May Day that we use comes from the French, and I'm terrible with French, but I'm going to try to pronounce it. It's Madère, which sounds relatively close to May Day. Madère, probably they say it, but a fellow by the name of Frederick Stanley Mockford, who was a senior radio officer at Croydon Airport in London back in 1923, Mockford was asked to think of a word that would indicate distress and could easily be understood by all pilots and ground staff in an emergency. Now, since much of the traffic at the time was between Croydon and the Bourget Airport in Paris, he proposed the word Mayday because it sounded similar to that Madère, and I do hope I'm saying that correctly. Before the voice call Mayday, SOS was, of course, the Morse code equivalent of the Mayday call. In 1927, the International Radio Telegraph Convention of Washington adopted the voice call Mayday in place of the SOS Morse call. The Mayday was defined as corresponding to the French pronunciation of Madère. That's the story on that one. So we have at least a little background on the history of it. Also, because I didn't read ahead on the script because I was kind of hoping to get the info here. Let me just buy a nickel. I didn't want to spoil the surprise for the distress call. I'm assuming or I'm hoping that we get into a little bit later on in the net the Wasn't May Day when they had the big commie parade in Moscow, you know, and they'd whip out all the missiles and stuff? It's like, yeah, it seems to me that there was a May Day thing, and they had that giant parade. I don't know, maybe we'll get to that a little bit later on. But anyway, it's KC2RMO, back to the net.
Well, thank you, Gary. I'll try to go through as much as I can with you tonight. And like I said, it's labor, it's flowers, it's springtime. It's the distress call. And anyone else that wants to share anything further with us this evening, you're more than welcome. So we'll break with you, Gary. I really thought you were going to talk about May Day in your household, but didn't hear that. Let's see what 6 Victor has to share with us. KY6B, come aboard.
Well, thank you, Kathy. I'm still laughing. Gary, you're a character. I don't know how they do it in Moscow. You know, it's normally all these pretty ladies grab a rope and they dance around the maypole. You know, without the military, so I don't know what to say there. I can tell you, guys and gals, and my understanding through the years is that the significant difference between May Day and SOS is whether you're on voice or you're on CW, and whether you are a ship at sea for the SOS or a land person or aircraft person using voice transmission saying Mayday. And I think that's the significant difference between the two. They are both definitely a distress call and need attention. I see that Wayne up there in the cold north is still connected with us. I want to say to you that you have to be a fluent singer or musician if you're going to Nashville. And you also, if you're going into a private suite in Franklin, Georgia, remember that the proprietor of that establishment is a polished musician also. So get yourself prepared. Let me buy a nickel here, Kathy. I've, through my hamming, handled a number of distress calls. The one that is very parallel to what Jim was talking about is that I was located in Miami, or in actually just a little south of Miami in a town called Homestead. I had a big beam antenna up at about 60 feet. I was working 20 meters one night. I was talking with a friend of mine out in San Francisco, of all places, the city that I was raised in. And when I signed with him, I heard this station come up and give my call sign and said, this is a Mayday situation in the Cuban waters. Let me buy another nickel. So I immediately went back to this gentleman. He said, I've got a problem. He says, I'm on a fishing trawler. I have lost my engine and I have lost my rudder. And I am drifting towards Cuban waters. Can you notify the Coast Guard? So I immediately said, QSL on your traffic, stand by, I'm calling the Coast Guard. I called them. I remember to this day, and this was many years ago, the operating frequency was 14280 on 20 meters. I called the Coast Guard. They came immediately up on frequency, and they could not hear the fishing trawler. Now, they were in Miami, and I was in Homestead, and that's not that far apart, but nevertheless, I had these guys locked in, so I ended up being the relay between the Coast Guard and the trawler. They had a Coast Guard ship in the vicinity, not too far away. They got a hold of that Coast Guard ship, directed it towards the trawler when the trawler gave me their specific location, threw a line and pulled these guys off before they got into Cuban waters and ended up to whatever fate they were going to end up in. And that's the way the story went, Kathy, KY6V, over.
Well, you know, Gordon, I don't think I've heard quite that story. I think I heard some stories with you about that, but not this story. So thanks for sharing that with us this evening. And, you know, all of us have had similar experiences, whether it's on the water or in the plane or in a car. But I want to thank you for sharing that with us. I'm not sure if you completely told the whole story. Were they able to be rescued by the Coast Guard? Or did you have to do something further? Maybe you had to get into a boat or a sailboat and go pick them up. But were they rescued by the Coast Guard and everything was okay? Back to you, KY6V.
Yeah, it all turned out fine. I thought I tried to explain that, Kathy. The situation was the Coast Guard in Miami had no copy on the vessel. And I had to end up being a relay between the Coast Guard and this fishing trawler. And the way that it ended up, I got the actual latitude and longitude reading off the trawler, gave that to the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard passed that on to one of their Coast Guard ships that was in the vicinity. That Coast Guard ship changed bearings and headed towards the fishing trawler. Once they got close enough, threw a line to the trawler, tied off the fishing trawler, and hauled it back out of Cuban waters. And that was sort of the end of the story. Over.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it's been a few years, diving experience, very high seas. And if you've dove or you've been out on one of these charters, they will take you out even if the seas are very high. And you can't cancel some of these dives. So this was an experience I had. It was very high seas and out in the middle of the Atlantic, and their engine blew. No way for them to move any direction was to call the same, the dive shop for them to send a boat out. But we kept drifting, and at very high seas, and we had to be towed back. I'm not sure if it took 2.5 hours or so to be towed back through those high seas. But at least we were safe, and we were okay. But, you know, I often wonder about people that are in distress, like what's in the news now, actually what they're feeling, trying to be rescued. But thanks for sharing that with us, Gordon, and I appreciate that so much. Mr. Rick, N1VXP, Ohio, come aboard, share with us your knowledge of the distress signal, or maybe you've been in that experience. You're up there in an area of the Great Lakes where they have a lot of problems, so maybe that's an experience you'd like to share. But come aboard, Rick, and thanks for being here tonight.
This is N1TXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. First, I got to say, we had a nice 80-degree temperature today. I had a feeling it was going to be up around that temperature, and it was really nice. It was a little breezy, but very comfortable, nice sunny weather. And always, as usual, we get a real nice day, and within the next couple days, we do get storms, so kind of waiting around for that to happen. Hopefully not going to be too severe. My experience actually happened about, I think it was like 2 years before I got my ham ticket. I was involved in a search and rescue. I happened to have it was a walkie-talkie. It was on the 11-meter band. And I overheard somebody say, hey, we need some help. And he used the word Mayday, and everybody kept saying, don't use it. Just state what your intentions were. And what it was there was a boy that was with his family, wandered off in a reservoir area, and got lost. And they needed help. And this was kind of a strange one because considering the fact that handheld ham radio it was kind of early in its infancy, but, still the fact that it was available, it seemed like nobody ever really thought about it. Let me draw for a second. So what they ended up having was anybody with a handheld 11-meter radio or a scanner was to report to a command post in the reservoir area, and they would be paired up with teams, and they had to physically go out and go over that area and search for the child. Actually, he wasn't a child, he was a teenager, but still, it was a kind of a search mission. And I was one of the teams, and I kept saying, everybody kept going off in one direction, and I said, I wonder if this guy really has anything in mind as to where to go. And I suggested, go towards the highest point of land that, that would be my way of doing it. Of course, the team leader said, no, we got to go over this area. And it took us about 2 days to search the area. We did our search basically in daylight, figuring at nighttime. It was kind of not too safe to be out running around without lighting. So we ended up, it was on the second day, and I was probably about maybe a quarter of a mile from the area where the search team did find this person. He was up on a hill, actually the highest hill. It was a peak area, open. And let me drop one more second. It was the idea that he was up there, and he was smart enough. And this is where we were really shocked. There was a trash can, and somehow he knew enough to start a fire in that trash can to keep warm. And, it wasn't really that cold, but nighttime got a little bit chilly. But there was some trash in there. He lit that, and was able to stay warm that way. But he said, I always wanted to be a scout, but I never did it. I always thought about it. And he was just grateful that, we did our searching around. And, it was about maybe a year later, or a year and a half later, that was when the amateur radio community really got involved in more of the Aries type activities. And it was like 2 years. I ended up getting my ticket, and I said, that is why I wanted to get an amateur radio. Quite a thing about it. But it was kind of a learning experience for myself as well, realizing that radio communications is definitely handy. But, it's something I have gone back in that area. And when I used to live in Connecticut, I went up that particular spot quite often because they used to call it the Finger Rocks. And it was literally just a protrusion of good-sized rocks up on a ledge that you could stand on and see quite a bit of an area. And I thought that was a great idea for him to go up there. N1GXP, back to net control.
Well, Rick, I want to thank you for sharing all that information and everyone who shared their experiences about the Mayday distress call. And I really appreciate it. I hadn't intended to go through that this evening. I was going to talk more about Mayday. the labor movement, the flowers, but I appreciate everyone who did come aboard. You know, we have one more person who wants to share a little bit about May Day, and that is Mr. Gary. I believe it's Stephanie, actually, but let's call him Mr. Gary and see what he would like to share. He's going to talk about May Day there up in New York. So, Gary, KC2RMO, can we get you to come aboard and share with us?
Well, thank you, Kathy. Yeah, I just thought my lovely wife here would like to, because in the background she was sharing with me memories of May Day in the jewel of Chautauqua County, Clymer, New York. Now, let me give you a little background about Clymer, New York. We've talked about Clymer occasionally here before, but for those who may not be familiar with Clymer, Clymer is in the probably the most western part of New York State. It is like a mile from the Pennsylvania border, and very, 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 very west. Okay, if you look at the map of New York, it's right on the western tip of New York. It's a booming metropolis in that part of the state. The census. I think the peak population for Clymer, New York, was 1,100 people, it's lost a few since then. So Clymer, what would you say, love?
I have no idea about Clymer.
I'm gonna say probably about maybe 700 people on a good day. So, but this is the home turf of my wonderful wife. This is what she calls her hometown. So well, this is where your youth was formed. Let me buy a nickel here for a minute. So, you were recalling some of the stories of May Day in Clymer. So why don't you step over here to the Mutual microphone, and not because it's the Mutual network, but we're mutually using it. So step over here to the Mutual microphone. And tell us about first of all, tell us about what the school you went to in Clymer was like. Describe that, and then tell us about May Day in Clymer.
My school was wonderful. I loved it.
Step right up the mic. People need to hear you. There you go. That's
better. My school was wonderful. I loved it.
But what about it? There was something unique about that school, wasn't it?
Well, not in my opinion.
Well, in most other people's opinion.
Small?
How small was it?
I think when I was in school, it was a one-building school, yes. K through 12,
mm-hmm.
and we had like 500 students.
That is correct.
There's like 300 now. That.
Yeah, so it's shrunk a little bit, but it was basically, that's it. It was a one-building school,
yeah.
Not a one-room schoolhouse.
No.
Although, if you Wikipedia Clymer, you will see a picture of the original one-room schoolhouse that's there. But they moved up from one room to one building. So and then
we had two floors.
Yeah, no waiting. So that was it. So let me buy a nickel, and you can tell the good folks here on the net about May Day.
So
well, you were doing some recollections, so I thought you might have passed that along. Let me just buy a nickel. All right, now go ahead and tell us about May Day and Clymer.
Well, it's been a very long time. What's it been, 25 years or something like that? It's been a long time, so I don't remember a whole lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they have, because it's a Dutch, it's a Dutch town, I guess. They have a windmill and all this stuff.
Right, okay.
You know? So they do this May Day thing, which is coming up, actually, if you want to go down and visit.
On May Day, yeah.
No, it's May 13th or something like that in the town. But anyway, on May 1st at the school every year, the senior girls dress up in their prom gowns, and a float is built. And they have this big thing going on outside. I don't remember exactly, but the girls, the senior girls, walk down this like path, and the path is lined with, you know, spectators, parents, and the rest of the kids from the school, I guess.
Parole officers.
Yeah, everybody who has an interest. And the girls walk down this aisle, this path, And they get up on the float, and they get their picture taken, of course, you know, all together. I think there were, I was going to say 50, but that's way too many.
That's way too many.
Way too many. 26, maybe?
That's about right.
And the fourth grade girls wear white dresses, and they dance around the maypole with ribbons.
Right,
it's a flagpole, actually. Go ahead.
We have to buy a nickel here. Hold on. Okay, so the fourth grade girls are dancing around the maypole,
yeah.
And the senior girls are in their prom dresses.
Yeah.
And everybody's rocking and rolling.
And there's a like a chosen one of the seniors is chosen as prom, not prom,
Mayday
Queen or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I remember.
Well, that's enough. I think that's
fine.
Enough for any human being. Really, I think it's, that's how they do it in Clymer anyway.
It's a big doing.
It is. That's a major event in Clymer, and it's New York's answer to Mayberry. So with that, we go back to the net. This is KC2RMO, and thank you, lovely wife.
You're welcome.
And back to you, Kath.
Well, Gary and Stephanie, I want to thank you for sharing that. You know, Dale Caston's, the school that I teach at, you know, we don't have quite that many, 350 maybe right now. But it's not K through 12, it's 6 through 12. I want to thank you for sharing that, because that's a little bit what I'm going to go into about May Day itself and about the May Day Queen, and hopefully you enjoyed that, Stephanie, when that did happen. It sounded very interesting. Well, I appreciate everyone coming aboard talking to us about Lay Day and May Day and May Day as the distress signal. And all the information Wayne had to share. But let me continue talking here a little bit about May Day history and the meaning of May Day as we continue on with the Family Global Hour. So let me pause here for just a moment. You know, like many festivals and holidays, May Day began as an ancient pagan festival held to celebrate the return of warmth to the earth and the beginning of the growing season. Like Wayne was talking about, flickering flames rose towards the sky as a symbol of the sun. Farmers walked their cattle through the fires to purify the animals and bring good fortune to the coming year. The Romans brought with them their spring celebration of Floralia, a festival honoring flowers. You know, as the years passed, the merry festival of May Day was created. Throughout most of the world, May 1st, or what we call International Workers' Day, commemorates the struggle of workers that began with workers fighting for an 8-hour day in the United States during the 1880s. Violence broke out in Chicago after a bomb was thrown into a squad of police sent to break up activists and became known as the Haymarket Affair. Eventually, the 8-hour day was established, but not until May Day parades, strikes, speeches, and marches were held, bringing the plight of the blue-collar worker to the forefront. Europe adopted a similar stance shortly after the United States. Activists today believe that the first day of May should be recognized by the government as the day to honor American workers rather than Labor Day. You know, I'm going to throw it out there once again so you've heard a little more about May Day, the labor movement. What went on with the flickering flames and the farmers and spring. So let's see if we have any check-ins before I continue with talking about the meaning of May Day. All right, hearing nothing, let me continue on and let me talk a little bit further about the meaning of May Day. Now, May Day is the first day in May, regardless of what day of the week it falls on. But unlike April 1st, which has to do with tricks, May 1st has to do with the celebration of springtime. And as an ancient pagan holiday celebrated by the lighting of bonfires to honor their sun god and welcome back spring again. The Romans were also glad, along with the Celts, that winter was over. Well, like Wayne is saying, winter is over. So they celebrated the Festival of Flowers for 6 days at the end of April and the beginning of May. Many of the customs of May Day today originate from the Roman celebrations and the Greek, such as the gathering of flowers and weaving them into wreaths or head garlands. You know, many European communities started celebrating spring by decorating their homes with first blooming flowers and celebrating a Queen of the May, like Stephanie was talking about, and then dancing around what is known today as the Maypole. The custom was to have women first wash their faces in the early morning with the dew on May 1st. They believed that by doing this, it would improve their complexions and bring them internal youthfulness. Throughout the Middle Ages, into the Renaissance, and even to the 19th century, May Day was widely observed through Europe and the America, but the Puritans were an exception to the rule. They persecuted anyone who participated in May Day celebrations, claiming it was a heathen custom. Let me pause here for a moment. You know, although May Day began to welcome in spring, it later gained political significance in some countries. May Day is celebrated in America, Europe, and in some areas that were once the former Soviet Union. Socialists in 1889 decided to make May Day their Labor Day and renamed it, turning it into a day to honor the working man. Countries whose governments are socialistic or communistic still celebrate May Day with speeches and displays of their military strength. The May Day parade in Moscow's Red Square is one of the better known examples of this. Since the United States has Labor Day in September, it keeps May Day as a day to celebrate spring, young love, and romance. But ironically, May 1st marks the anniversary of the 1886 Chicago labor rally that resulted in the Haymarket riot and the subsequent of the labor anarchy movement. So May Day is not a national holiday in the United States, but the state of Hawaii does observe it as Lei Day, like Gordon was talking about it, by exchanging the traditional Hawaiian flower necklaces as symbols of good luck. So once again, let's hear from you. I'm looking for some check-ins.
RMO?
Okay, I have Gary, KC2RMO. Is there anyone else at this point who would like to come aboard? Share any information about May Day, maybe May for them, spring planning, warm weather? You just want to say hi or anything we've talked about this far? So, along with Gary, do I have any other check-ins? All right, hearing nothing, Gary, it's all, the floor is all yours. What would you like to share with us?
Well, actually, the floor wasn't where I was working today. It was on the wall. I'm putting up a backsplash in the kitchen, which is going to look real nice, by the way. We'll send pictures. That's true. Maypole. Wasn't Maypole a hot cereal back in the 60s? Remember the little guy, I want my Maypole. What I wanted to pass along, during the course of the information you were talking about, Steph remembered that she had actually left a May basket on the doorstep, and it was for your mom, right?
Yeah, because I think I remember you,
I don't know if that came across. It wasn't moving the meter very much. But she would do that every year, and she wasn't sure for how long, or how it actually got started. But she remembered that part of the tradition too. So that was applicable in Clymer, and what do you think, Wattsburg too?
Yeah, I was an adult in Clymer.
Yeah,
I did it in Wattsburg.
So Wattsburg and
Lafayette
is a huge city compared to either Wattsburg or Clymer, but that part of the tradition actually extends to this household. So I thought I'd pass that along. It's KC2RMO. Back to the net.
All right, thank you, Gary. And I'm gonna actually share a little bit about the May basket before I move on, as we continue talking about May Day. I want to welcome anyone who's just connected, and if you haven't checked in this evening, we sure hope to hear from you. Our topic this evening is May Day, May the 1st, and the different symbolisms of it. The distress signal, the maypole, flowers, springtime and planting. So we hope to hear from anyone anywhere that who would like to come aboard. But let me share this little bit with you, Gary, as you're talking about the May basket. And I've never done that, but that's a really nice gesture on your part, Stephanie. But in the 19th century United States, the custom of hanging small baskets filled with flowers became popular. It is still done in some communities throughout the U.S. today, and not just for May Day. Many towns have an organization that voluntarily goes and puts flower baskets in various parts of public areas of their town. In other cases, the flower baskets are not real, but are made of woven strips of colored paper decorated with lace, paper doilies, and ribbons. They're filled with flowers, candy, and sometimes a short poem with the name of the person for whom they are intended. The custom is to hang the basket on the person's front door, ring the bell, and then dash away before the door is open. This is a lot like a surprise Valentine or a Halloween trick-or-treating in a way. You know, in Iowa, it is a custom children to leave May baskets on the doors of those they have crushes on because flowers symbolize love, fertility, and the arrival of spring. So I wanted to share that with each and every one of you tonight. Let me pause here once again as we continue with our May Day discussion this evening. We're going to start just giving you some information and, of course, ask for some check-ins. So let's see if anyone else would like to come aboard at this point. Maypole as a cereal. Gary, I leave it to you. But I think it's still around nowadays. So with that, let me throw it out there for any check-ins that would like to come aboard.
Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rick. What would you like to come aboard and share with us?
Well, I can say maypole. It's M-A-Y-P-O. That's got to be the shortened version of a maypole. Concerning the baskets, I think the story goes on a little bit further, that it was given, they put the basket on the doorstep, rang the doorbell, and ran like mad. Because if they got caught by the person that the basket was intended for, they got kisses. And I can remember my school, they did that. They gave us some baskets, and they said, "Now, put this on the doorstep of somebody you care for and somebody you always watch out for and really think of a good friend." And my brother ended up putting one on the doorstep of a neighbor, and we always used to joke around, but he put it on the doorstep, and unbeknownst to me, the person thought I did it, and I said, "No, I didn't do it." And they stopped me, and they said, "Well, we got to give you a kiss." And I'm like, "Uh-uh." I ran so quick back home, and I wouldn't step out of the door for a good 2 or 3 hours. And then when my brother came around, he said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, you did it, and I got blamed for it. So you got to go and see the person. They know who put the basket there, so watch out." But it was the idea that it was something that the school did 1 year for us. Let me drop for a second. You know, something like Valentine's Day, we would do the baskets. Well, we wouldn't do it for the kids. We'd do it for the parents of the particular student. It was one we really thought a lot about. And our community was quite close together. Everybody knew each other. I knew if I had a problem, I'd go to my neighbor, and they would take care of the problem. But it was just the idea. It was a fun time in May. We always looked forward to it. And, you know, it was just something part of the maypole. I remember 1 year of the flagpole in front of the school had these ribbons hanging from the top when we got to school, and we all wondered what the heck is going on here. And part of the treat was to do the maypole dance, and It was fun because the teacher gave us about an hour instruction on how to dance around the pole and be able to have the ribbon woven all the way from top to bottom. It worked out quite well, and we enjoyed it. N1TXP, back to net control.
Well, Rick, I want to thank you for sharing that. You know, growing up, I can't remember doing anything with a maypole. You know, I'm thinking of the flowers. I don't ever remember putting it on a doorstep. But later in life, I actually did that as a way I earned a living, was the flower arranging and doing a lot with flowers. So maybe that was just a way of doing the flowers and the spring and, rejuvenating everything. And that's what May is all about. May is a beautiful month. You know, it's a time we celebrate our mothers. It's a time that we celebrate planting and other things. There's so much during this month. But let me talk just a little bit about the maypole. And then like you have shared with us, Rick, you remember this. And I can't remember it. And I'm pretty close to your same age, but I don't remember it when I was in kindergarten. But let me pause for a moment. I'm going to share that with you. You know, the most well-known symbol of May Day is that maypole. And, you know, Steve put that on our website, so if you haven't had a chance, look at that. They go back to the pagan custom in which trees, a birth or fir normally, were brought into the village square through a solemn parade. Later in the 16th and 17th centuries, many towns in England erected permanent poles that were left to stand for the rest of the year and decorated only on May Day. The shaft was often painted with stripes, and the flower dowel was fastened up on the top. A tuft of greenery of some sort was left on the end of the pole as a reminder that it was a symbol of the newly awakened spirit of fertility and vegetation. Colorful ribbons or streamers were then hung from the pole, and people would dance around it, holding the ends of the streamers in such a way that they were woven into a pattern as the dancers progressed. Today, the maypole dance is often performed by traditional English Moorish dancers who wear hats decorated with ribbons and flowers and streamers on their wrists and elbows. They also have bells strapped to their caps and hold white handkerchiefs and clack wooden sticks. The bells and sticks in pagan times were used to frighten evil spirits, and the dancers' high leaps were believed to encourage the crops to grow tall. Remember, I said in America, the Puritans hated May Day. They did not like the idea of dancing around the maypole at all because they interpreted it as a symbol and the dance as a lusty pagan fertility ritual that had no place in their civilized world. So, we don't want to stamp out this custom. But, any other comments at this point before we move on? And we're going to start to wind down here this evening, but I'd like to hear from you. If you haven't talked about May Day, your time during May 1st, whether it's the distress call, whether it's the maypole, it's the flowers, it's the planting. What would you like to share with us this evening?
Six, Victor.
And RMO.
Well, Mr. Six, Victor, and Mr. RMO, I've been following this text box a little bit, but not too much, but I'm going to start with you, Mr. Gordon, and see what you would like to share with us. You know, that was a real nice day today. It was nice driving along the intercoastal, seeing the nice water and the boats out there and the flowers, and knowing that spring is happening and a new life for us. So, Gordon, what would you like to share with us this evening?
Thanks, Kathy. Yeah, that was a nice drive. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful day down here in Florida. Well, two quickies that I'd like to interject here. I see that KB9LHT out in Saipan is currently connected with us. We'd love to hear from you, sir. I'm an old Navy sailor that sailed around all of those islands out there. I was stationed on Guam for a long, long time. Very active on the radio, and I had some good friends that were on Saipan and Midway and you name it. So if you have the opportunity, we'd like to say hello to you. I'd like to have you address, Kathy, this renegade from Syracuse that's coming up next, and ask him for a detailed explanation as to his personal difference in using the word Mayday and Maytag. That could take a net in itself, I would think. KY6V, back to you.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Gordon. I'm not sure what his Maytag has to do. He says something about oversudsing. And, you know, you and I are in the process of looking at washing machines and dryers, and he comes up with Maytag. So, yeah, I'll throw that out to him and see what the... I don't know, maybe it's an analogy, or maybe it's a symbolism. Gary, what is the relationship between Mayday and Maytag? And come back aboard.
Why, Kathy, that's easy. Maytag is the leader in kitchen appliances since 1931. But actually, I just thought, you know, Mayday, Maytag, you know, and in the appliance business, that's the distress call. You reserve it for particularly troublesome events like oversudsing. That's when you call Maytag. And the Maytag repairman wakes up and he shows up and he gets your machine straight again. He has?
Oh, yes. Did you know?
I didn't know that.
I
haven't seen that.
Oh, well, it's been a while.
Well, this is real news. The Maytag repairman has been replaced, and once again, the world that I've known has been torn down and thrown away, and it's just terrible. But can you enlighten us a little more on that? Or
he retired.
The Maytag man retired. Well, I guess it's got to happen sometime. I mean, it semi-happened to me, so I guess it can happen to the Maytag man. So, well, I wish the new guy all the luck in the world, and... couple of comments, just basically the as Gordon and I were discussing in the text box, that the I like that text box. That's nice. Yes, the tradition of the May basket obviously gave birth to one of the great Halloween pranks of all time. And anybody that knows anything about Halloween pranks certainly knows what I'm talking about. It involves a paper bag and igniting that paper bag with certain, probably distasteful to mention, contents, and we all know the rest of the story on that one. I did want to just buy a nickel for half a second here and point out, as we just move over to the Culture Corner here on the Global Family Hour, that the maypole plays an important part in the Swedish Rhapsody number 1 by Hugo Alfvén. The ballet, the dance that goes with it, is performed in front of the maypole as part of the Swedish Midsummer Night celebration. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, and we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thank you, Gary, for sharing us with us about May Day and Maytag and Maypole and what you're talking about, the bag, with what happens with the dog. And didn't have too much of that, but I know it was around. So thanks for being here as my backup and always your humor and to make our nets really, really interesting. You know, I'm going to throw it out there. We're starting to wind down, but I do want to give you some interesting facts and some things that you can put in that mind to think about May Day, Maypole, you know, whatever happens with May 1st, the planting and the fertilizing. And some of it has to do with girls. So let me see if I can get any check-ins. And we'd sure like to hear from you. a KB9LHT if you'd like to come aboard and just say hi to us this evening. We'd sure like to hear you. Enrique, I believe, or anyone else that would like to come aboard as we start to conclude this evening's net. But any other check-ins at this point before I give you some interesting facts from you?
You're back to Yankee.
Lima Hotel Tango.
All right, Jim, if it's okay with you. And we haven't heard from Miss Rebecca this evening. I wasn't able to check in with her this morning, but she told me she didn't have much sleep, I think is what I was hearing. Let me pick up Enrique first. He's in the Saipan Islands. I'm not sure if we've talked, or if we have, it's been a very, very long time, and a belated birthday to you. Well, it's a while back, but Enrique, what would you like to share with us about maybe May the 1st? Or just tell us how things are there, weather-wise, or whatever you'd like to share this evening. And we appreciate you coming aboard to our Family Global Hour. So, Enrique, come aboard.
Yeah, Kathy, good evening there. Good morning on this end. It's like 10:30 in the morning here, Sunday morning. And I was just listening to everybody's comment about the May Day and Maytag there. But May Day, I don't have any experience on May Day, so can't really talk about it. I know May Day, some other islands, they celebrate it. They got something to do. I believe Hawaii is one of the islands that celebrate. They have some kind of a celebration about May Day. But, well, weather-wise here for Sunday morning, it's partly cloudy here, and it rains on and off here, and it's supposed to climb, the weather here is supposed to be up in the 80s here, but it feels like it's in the mid-90s here as we get close to summertime here. It's just right around the corner, and spring break, well, last week they had a spring break school, so they didn't have a school for a week, 1 week, and then they're just Monday start back up the school, although private school probably this tomorrow, Monday here on our time. But anyhow, not much on my end here. I just heard that one gentleman mention about something about his experience out here in the Saipan and Guam. I'm originally from the island of Guam, but was raised here in Saipan. So, and I got this call in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I used to live there in Fort Wayne, Indiana for 20 years, and just 2 years ago, I moved back here. 2012, I moved back home, and then we're probably going to give about another, by end of this year, and then we're planning to move to Arizona, where our kids at, so stuff. So anyway, back to you, Kathy, and thanks for picking me up, and I like to, this is the only time that I come in here and listen to your net there, and you have a very interesting net, so I try it as much as good. I can, if I have time, I come in, come in here. Boy, I'm getting speechless here. Anyway, I'll give it back to you there, Kathy, and thanks for picking me up. K6SUN from KB9 Lima Hotel Tango, Portable King Henry Zero.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. And I see that I actually put you in the roster with your name as Rick, and I apologize for calling you Enrique. But thanks for sharing that with us. And, you know, it's been a while, I think, since we've talked. Arizona, wow, and Indiana. So, but thanks for sharing all your information with us. And I do actually want to call on Gordon. He's the one that was talking about Saipan and Guam. Actually, he's a Navy person that was stationed in Guam. So I'm going to call on him. Because I think he has some information he wants to share, or maybe a contact. So once again, Rick, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for your kind thoughts about the Global Family. I always like doing the nets on the evening and the programming nets, you know, and I hope that you enjoy it as much as I enjoy doing it. So, KY6D, would you like to come aboard?
Well, thanks, Kathy. I'll try to make this very short. Hi, Rick. Gordon here, KY6V, that's Kilo Yankee 6 Victor, squawking to you from Central Florida. Yeah, I'm the guy that sort of cruised around on the other side of the 180th Meridian. interesting that you spent some time on Guam. I was stationed at the Naval Comstay on the northern end of the island. Back in the late 50s. And a lot of stories that can be told about that. But we are so pleased to have you aboard. I'd like to ask you to do something for us, if you would, Rick, when your time permits. And that is that we have a global tracking map on our website. And our website is www. Maybe, Kathy, you can put that in the text box for us. .voip.southcars.com. And we get a spot around the world on that map when somebody looks at our website. And we do not yet have Saipan, so we just love to have you. Wondered where your 9 call came from. Understand Fort Wayne, that's neat. I spent some time in the Phoenix, Arizona area, so we've got some things in common to talk about whenever time permits. Thanks for being here, Rick. KY6V, back to you.
Okay, Gert. Thank you. I got down, jotted down real quick the website, and I have no problem in the weather thing here and stuff. The naval base you're talking about, the northern end part of the island, is still there. I used to live in Agate. The village name is Agate, and I go by the naval base before reaching my destination, which is the village Agate, where I used to live. And they have the southern tip of the island of Guam. It's the Jeb Anderson Air Force Base. It's still there, and I believe they got so many military population there than civilians there. I believe they moved some of the Marines in Okinawa down to Guam, and they have a new Air Force Base here, or Army, I believe Army or Air Force Base, in Tinian Island. And that was a new location there for the military. And some part of the northern island there, Pagan Island, I was probably thinking they were trying to make a deal with the government here. But I know Arrakis Island is, not no-fly zone, but they use that one island there, the Arrakis Island, for air tactical training. Hi. Okay. Well, I'm just gonna listen for a little bit here, and then Kathy, I'll probably push it, give it back to you there, since you're the net there, and I'll listen for a little bit, and then I'll jump on my computer here and see if I can go to that website and stuff and add some information on this end. Back to you, K6S1 from KB9 Lima, Honolulu, Tokyo, portable King Henry Zero, Saipan Island.
Well, Rick, you're sounding very good, and we appreciate you joining us tonight and listening whenever you can. We sure thank you for checking in this evening to our Family Global Hour, and hopefully you'll join us whenever you can. We have some interesting programs that come on from time to time. Well, guys and gals, let me share some information with you, and hopefully you'll find some of this humorous and informational for you about May Day itself. We'll ask for some final check-ins, and then we'll close this evening so that you can enjoy the rest of your evening. But if a young girl plucks a white, not a pink dogwood blossom on May Day morning and puts it in her bosom, the first man she meets wearing a white hat will have the same Christian name as her future husband. Early on the morning of May 1st, look out your window and count the number of live things that you see. That will be the number of years before you marry. On May 1st, look for a bird's nest. The number of eggs you find will be the number of years you will be single. And on the morning of May Day, get up early, and before you speak to anyone, look out your window. The number of chickens you see will represent the number of years before you marry. Let me pause here for just a moment. On the morning of May 1st, a maiden should get up early and speak to no one. She should then go under the cedar tree and turn around 3 times and then listen for noises. If she hears singing, she will be happily married. If she hears knocking, it is the driving of nails in her coffin and she will die before she marries. If she hears no sound at all, she'll never marry. So obviously, I must have heard these noises because I'm happily married. So on May 1st, in the morning, place a glass of water in the sun at sunrise and let it remain all day. At sunset, look into the water. If you are to die an old maid or a bachelor, a coffin will appear in the water. So with that, before I continue, any comments, any check-ins as we continue with our Family Global Hour?
RMO.
You better shake.
You got us all laughing, Kathy. Sex Vector.
Well, I had to end it here this evening. This has been a grand net. Had a great time, so I wanted to end it with some of these facts. But I have more to share with you. But let's see what you three have to share with me this evening. And I hope you found them amusing. And I hope that you're all happily married, and none of that made any sense to you. So with that, RMO, KC2RMO, my backup, what's your comment this evening?
Well, I am, of course, happily married.
You better be.
And, and you heard it right there, folks. It's like, if there was any doubt. I did want to put in a plug for tomorrow morning, too. Don't forget. That we're it's time once again for Ask an Elmer, where it's kind of like the it's kind of like tool time for ham radio. I think it's probably closest to it. It's a great net. We have a lot of fun on it, and you just bring your questions and bring your comments about all things related to ham radio and ham radio hardware and ham radio in general, and the whole schmear, it's a lot of fun. So join us tomorrow morning at 10 right here on South Carson. Right now, we'll go back to the net. It's KC2RMO. Back to you, Kat.
All right, Gary. Thanks for sharing that. And now we'll do that before the end of the net. And actually, I will be there to begin the session for you like I usually do, and then it's back to the usual packing. We've moved a lot, but there's still a lot to move, and we have about 3 weeks. So I think Gordon and I are hoping to get rid of some of our clothes, which have been stuck in those closets for so long. But thank you, Gary, so much for that. Mr. Georgia QY, we haven't heard from Miss Rebecca this evening, so I hope that everything is okay with her. And I wasn't able, like I said, to check in her net, but I heard her say that she only had a couple hours of sleep. So, Q Yankee, come aboard, and what amused you with some of those comments?
This is day before QI. Well, QX, she's out here beside me. But anyhow, I was going to tell Gary now, it's important. You know, a lot of these things, you know, is important. And it's important for him to know that the Maytag situation comes from that little fella that is so sad on television. Now, you know if it's on television, it's got to be right. And you may, if you don't believe it, ask Jordan. He'll tell you, yes, sir, man, that television is the gospel. But anyway, reason the Maytag band's looking for more work was because his Maytag's going to break down, and he didn't have nothing to do.
So he retired, but it was
so fine. He had to retire, and no sense of replacing because ain't nothing broke. On a Maytag, he'll break down. So, if you don't believe it, ask Gordon. He's television man, he'll tell you. All right, that's all I have. Look for you tomorrow on the Escobar Bar. By golly, I'll be the alternate net control. And I've got to think of some question. I don't know what it'll be, but I will think of something another. J-B4QY, back to you.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Jim and Ms. Rebecca. I heard you in the background. You know, I actually remember that commercial so well. Don't watch much television anymore, and probably haven't seen that commercial, but according to Gary, he's been retired, and maybe that's because he, like you said, he has nothing to fix. They are good products, but, you know, they also sometimes have a good price to them. But thank you, Jim, and Miss Rebecca. Have a great evening. And yes, I will be there in the morning along with you, listening to what's happening during that Ask at Elmer. So with that, I'll break with you, Mr. Jim, and pick up Sixth Victor and see what he would like to share this evening about the comments, about whatever we've talked about this evening, or maybe about those interesting facts. So with that, KY6B, Mr. Gordon, come aboard.
Thanks, Kath. KY6V here. I don't know really where to start after Jim's comments here. Jim, I need to tell you that with the TV station that I was with for over 22 years, we had a $6 million editing room. Believe it or not, we could change anything to anything, voice or video. As an example, if a politician came on and said, I am totally, emphatically supportive of this bill on XXXX matter, we could go in with this equipment and change that where this politician came out and said, I am totally against it, and for this reason, blah, 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 blah. And now you're talking about Maytag. Hey, Kathy, the only comment I have to say is that was so nice. The way that you've ended this program this evening, I want you to know that it's going to go down in posterity. And it is recorded because I've got three machines here that did it. KY6V, back to Kathy.
Well, thank you, Gordon, but I'm not sure how I ended with it, besides those interesting facts. So, but it's been a nice net. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And I'll give a heads up to Mr. Gary, my backup. I'm going to actually have him close this evening. So he's going to have to look up that preamble for the closing because I didn't print it this evening. But before I go on to the final facts I want to give you, I want to encourage everyone to join Gary and Jim in the morning for the Ask an Elmer. It's always a fantastic session, 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Next week, on Saturday, we're going to talk about May fun, more about May. And then we're going to, Gordon and I are going to talk on the Sunday Rag to you about looking for a new home. And that was an interesting experience, but everything has turned out just fantastic, and we are very excited. So let me pause here for just a moment as I give you some final thoughts for you to think about.
Oh, Samuel.
Mr. Jim, I'm not sure what you asked me about, so can you come back aboard?
That section that you were saying Gary needs to get before him is called a postamble, not a preamble, postamble.
Well, you're probably correct. It's part of what I have as my preamble, but yes, it is the postamble. It's the closing. But he has that all in one area. So thank you, Mr. Jim, for that. So here's some thoughts for you. Take the yolk out of a hard-boiled egg and fill the empty hole with salt. Then eat the egg and go to bed. Your destined mate will appear in the night and offer you a drink. Eat a thimbleful of meal and another of salt. Be very silent. Then walk backwards, this is for you, Gary, to bed with your hands clasped behind your back. Take off your clothing backwards and then get into bed. The apparition of your future husband or wife will come as before and give you a drink of water. Place an egg in front of the fire. If it is seen to sweat blood, it is a sign that you will succeed in winning the man you desire, or the woman. So, with that, I'm going to conclude with a May Day superstition, and I'll ask for some final check-ins as we close this evening. So let me pause for a moment. All right. First thing in the morning on May 1st, young girls used to rush out into the garden to wash their faces in the May dew. Why? There's an old tale that says that the May Dew has magic properties, and that anyone who has washed their face in it will have a beautiful complexion all through the year. This dew was supposed to be able to remove freckles and also spots and pimples. The month of May was considered an unlucky month, particularly for getting married. Wasn't a month I got married. Marry in May and you'll rule the day. Being born in May was thought to produce a sickly child. I was born in May. Never buy a broom in May or wash blankets. If you wash a blanket in May, you wash a deer one away. Cats born this month will not be good rodent catchers, and even worse, will bring snakes into the home. Lucky days during the month of May, 3rd, 6th, 7th, 13th, 15th, and 20th. Thank God I was born on the 19th. So with that, let me throw it out there for some final check-ins this evening as we close down our Family Global Hour. Any check-ins at this point, please come aboard. Oh my goodness, I thought I had some check-ins from you, Gordon. I thought I had some check-ins from you, Gary, or Mr. You, Jim. Nobody at this time. So at this point, Gary, I'm going to throw it your direction to do the final closing for our Global Family Hour. Thanks for being my backup. I will be there in the morning to do my usual. So thank you, each and every one of you, for being here this evening. Hopefully you enjoyed. So KC2RMO, over to you.
Well, thank you, Kath. I mean, how can you beat swallowing a thimble of salt and walking backwards and spinning around three times? I can't top that. But thanks, Kath. Great net and a whole lot of fun. And now for the postamble. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIPNet schedules and general information may be found on the World Wide Web at voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session has been K6SUN. That's Kathy, and I'm KC2RMO, just in case you didn't know, closing this VoIP session and saying thank you for your participation. This net is closed.